We're just going to say a quick prayer, and we're going to dive into the Word of God tonight. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, oh God, for bringing us together. We thank you so much, oh Lord Jesus, for your Word that speaks unto us, that lifts us up, that edifies us, oh God. Jesus, we want to go to a deeper level in you. God, we want to go to a deeper level in our faith. Lord Jesus, we want to know you more. So speak unto us through your Word, oh God. Open us that we may gladly receive of your Word, oh Lord Jesus, and that we may take it in and that we may soak it in and meditate upon it, oh God. Thank you for this opportunity. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So continuing on our tracking in our of our study in the book of Hebrews, it brings us to chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews. And I've been given the assignment to break down what God wants to say to us through this book. So before I actually even get to the title and get to the verse, I do want to give a quick shout out to Sister Sharon. She actually helped me with this tonight. A little while back, she gave me some information. She gave me this paper that had all these neat facts and just neat viewpoints about the book of Hebrews. But what she doesn't actually know, I didn't tell her this, it actually wasn't the paper that she handed me. It was what she said when she handed it to me that I feel like kind of encompasses not only this chapter, but the entire book. She said, it's not that I don't think you can do it, but I just know that every now and again, we all need a little bit of help. Yeah. And when you look at the book of Hebrews, and when you look at chapter by chapter, from verse 1 all the way to the end, these people, they weren't people who didn't have any knowledge of God. They didn't have any knowledge of the Word, but they're people that have seemed to kind of taken a little bit of a hit and really just needed some encouragement and a reminder in what God has done for them, the promises that they have, and the track that they need to be on going forward. So tonight, I just want to talk to you on this simple subject, a page by faith. So let's go ahead and start with verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I feel like this verse in particular really just kind of sets the tone for the entire chapter. The whole chapter of Hebrews really just speaks heavily on faith. It really emphasizes on the idea of faith and having faith. And then in this verse in particular is talking about faith. It says, basically, because of our faith, not only are we are sure about the things that we hope for, but we are also convinced of the things and the one that we cannot see. That's really what that verse is saying, that because of our faith, we're sure in the things that we hope for. And on top of that, we are convinced about a God that we can't see, and we're convinced in the things that we haven't yet seen because of our faith. And that's basically what it's saying in a nutshell, but I feel like it goes a little bit deeper than that. As a matter of fact, I've never claimed to be a prophet. I don't really feel like I operate in the prophetical gifts, but I feel like that God kind of spoke something to me a little while ago, and I wrote it on this piece of paper here. And so we're going to do a little exercise tonight. I'm going to read four statements that God has given me. And after each statement, I want you guys to give me the biggest, heartiest amen you can, all right? All right? Okay, so let me just open this up real quick. All right. Statement number one. Our church will see a harvest like never before. Yeah. We will see signs, miracles, wonders, and breakthrough like never before. Yeah. Chains will be broken and the captive will be set free. Yeah. Jesus is coming soon and we will be a people that will eagerly await his return. Yeah. Now, if you really believe that, why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Thank you, Jesus, for signs. Thank you, Jesus, for miracles. Thank you, Jesus, for wonders, oh God. Thank you, oh Lord Jesus, that there's going to be a breakthrough in this church. We thank you, oh God. We stand on this. We believe it, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. 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 I think that was a pretty good statement. I think so. So much so that I think we should read it again. Do you guys agree? I think we should really claim that. So I'm going to get you to help me, okay? So I just want you to read it. Read it with enthusiasm whenever you're ready.
Amen.
Whenever you're ready.
I don't remember everything that you said.
Well, it was written right here.
I believe you, but I don't see it.
Uh-oh, I'll flip it. I think it's on the other side. Sorry.
Can you help me out?
You know, it's kind of funny that it's like that. God has given us promises. God has given us testimonies. And it's so funny that we hang on to it. But you know what the world says? I don't really see what you're talking about here. I don't really see what you're hanging on to here. It seems like that the promises that we have, we're sure of. However, when the world sees it, all they see is a blank page. All they see, I don't see the breakthrough that you're talking about. I don't see the miracles that you're talking about. I don't see the signs that you're talking about. Here, let me hold it up to the light. No, I don't see what you're talking about. I don't really think it's coming. This is what the world sees when it comes to our faith. The reason why this verse starts off with a definition, which, by the way, I think is very weird that a whole book really talking about faith, it waits 11 chapters in before it gives a definition of what faith is. But the whole reason why it's talking about that is not the fact that our faith is null and void, but it's really a hard faith to comprehend when you're not in the Word of God and when you don't understand who God is. So with our faith, we need to understand that not everybody's going to see what God has promised us. Not everybody's going to see what the Word of God has told unto us. They're not really going to understand it. To them, it's really going to look foolish. That preaching is going to look foolish. That faith is going to look kind of foolish. It's going to look kind of empty to them. It's going to look kind of blank. I don't really see any substance, but God said that there's something waiting for you and you need to trust in me, even when you can't see it. So, verse 2, it says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." So, very simple. All it's really saying is that when it talks about the elders, it's talking about the people of the Old Testament, that are our fathers before us and the prophets and those of the faithful that were in the Old Testament, not only really attained a good report, but rather that they obtained recognition by God because of their faith. Going on to verse 3. Now, before I go any further, I'm just going to let you know, I'm going to go on a very small tangent on this verse just because I love it so much. But not only that, just so you know, there's 40 verses in the book of Hebrews, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on all the verses, but I do want to spend a brief moment on this one. Verse 3, it says, "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." Now, as Christians, and really just as believers and children of God, if God says it, we believe it. Sure. That's all there is to it. If God says you can be filled with the Holy Ghost, then we believe you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. If God says that he can heal you, then we believe that you can be healed. If God says that he can raise somebody up from the dead, then there's no question about it. That person can be raised up from the dead. There's no question about the things that God can do in our mind because he said it. But what I really like about this verse is that not only can you see this by faith, but when you look at the world, it really just kind of tells you that creation testifies of God's greatness. Where's my sciencey people at tonight? Is anybody familiar with string theory? Anybody at all? Raise your hands if you are. I'm not too familiar with it either. But I do have a very basic idea of string theory. String theory is basically the theory, the concept, the idea that everything in the universe is on vibrating filaments or strings with membranes of energy. So if that's true, that everything in the universe consists of and is sustained by vibrating filaments and strings, well, that would actually support in Genesis 1:3 when it says God said. Meaning that everything in creation was actually made by the vibrations and the voice of God. Not only was it made by that, but it's continually sustained, meaning that his voice has power and it has energy and it sustains everything we see, from us to the trees to the clouds, even things that we take for granted like this podium here. Talking about creation. We don't really need an explanation for it, but I think that's really neat that even science just proves our faith in God when it comes to this. Now, before I go any further, There's many people, many men and women mentioned in the book of Hebrews talking about their faith, talking about the way that they stand out because of their faith. But for time's sake, I'm going to emphasize really on just a few of them. And I feel like that within these few, we can kind of get the entire grasp of everybody because of their faith. So going on for verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Talking about Enoch, one of the more well-known characters in the book of Genesis, has a bit of a unique story because he's one of the only people in the Bible who never actually died. And it says because of his faith. And I remember when I first read that, I for years wondered, what did he do? What did he do? What exactly did he do? What exactly was his walk like to where God said, I just have to take you now. You're not even going to die. But I never realized it until I read this verse that it actually says it quite plainly. It says that by faith, Enoch, and at the end of the verse, it says that he pleased God. You know, we talk about faith a whole lot. We talk about faith to move mountains. We talk about faith to cure diseases. We talk about faith to just bring the loved ones home. But when was the last time you went into your prayer closet and you prayed and you cried out to God and said, I just want to have a faith that pleases you? When's the last time that you just had a burning desire in your soul and it says, you know what? I know you can move mountains. God, I know that you can heal the sick. God, I know that you can open the eyes of the blind. But God, more than all that, I want my faith to be pleasing to you. I want to have enough faith to where you're just pleased, that where you're just pleased with me. I feel like that was the real reason why he was translated. If you read on, you know that he was also a prophet. But beyond that, he really just wanted a faith that pleased God. Verse 7, we're going to move on now to Noah. And I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to kind of speed through this. Verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, this is actually my favorite account in the book of Genesis. I love the book of Genesis because I love all the types and shadows and symbolisms and all the just richness that's in the book. But I really like this story because Noah had a very unique faith. The Bible specifically says that it had not rained yet on the earth. And God was telling Noah that a flood was going to come, that something that never happened before was about to happen. Seem kind of unusual that if I were to just make up a word and tell you that it was coming, you guys would probably laugh at me and look at me like I'm crazy. Like, what are you talking about? And if I was so adamant about it, like it's coming, you guys would probably be a little bit standoffish. Like, Brother Jamal, we're gonna have to sit you down for a while. I don't want you around my kids. I'm sorry, brother. But you know what it was like to Noah? You don't understand that a flood is coming. Hey, Noah, what you doing there? Hey, it's written right here. You see it? You see, God said that a flood is coming. I don't see it, Noah. God said that he's going to send a rain. God said you got to get on the ark. Noah, I don't see what you're talking about. It says it right here. Noah, you've been saying it for the past 70 years. God said it is right here. Noah, you've been saying it for the past 100 years. It says it right here. Noah, it is year 149. I think you're going crazy, brother. I don't see it. But yet and still, like I said before, to the world, it seems foolish. But to us, we see that by faith, that God has given a promise, that God has given a command. And we're like, even if nobody else sees it, even if nobody else understands, I'm going to hold fast onto my promise. I'm going to hold fast to this. I'm going to hold fast to what God has told me because I know his word is true. And I know that he is truth. So I'm going to hold fast to it. That's what it looked like to Noah. That's what it looked like to the people. Noah was hanging on to a blank piece of paper. He just had a page, but by faith, he was able to see what God was telling him, and he acted upon that. It's one thing to hear what God says, but it's a whole other thing to act upon what God tells you to do. Moving on to the next person. Verse 8, by faith, talking about Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Abraham, I see you packing up your stuff. Where are you going? God has given me some land. God has given me a promise. God said I'm going to have an inheritance. Well, what you got there? Well, this is the map to the place. I'm just going to follow this map until I get there. All right, well, let's see. I think he gave me the wrong piece of paper. No, it's right here. It's right here. God said that I'm going to go out into a place, and he has a place for me. He has a promise for me. He has an inheritance for me. I don't see it, Abraham. I don't see the direction that you're going in. It doesn't make sense that you would sell your six-figure job, that you would let go of your six-figure job to go into a destination that's unknown. It seems kind of weird that you would give up the comfort, that you would sell your house, that you would give up all these things to chase something that you can't even see. It doesn't seem real. Who in a right mind would give up six figures to go across seas and make no money but become a missionary? Somebody that by faith. Somebody by faith that say, you know what? This doesn't matter. The things I have, it doesn't matter. The path that I'm on, my will doesn't matter. It's all about what God wants. It's all about what God wants. I'm going to follow what God says. Even they don't see it. You guys see it? Do you see anything? No, there's nothing on here. But there's something about what God has given me that in my mind, I'm beginning to form visions. I'm beginning to see dreams. I'm beginning to see the things that God is doing. Even but at first, I couldn't see it. But as I begin to take the step on this journey, now all of a sudden, there seems to be a path that's beginning to form. And now, by faith, I'm going to keep trucking. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep going. Even if everybody else says no. Even if everybody else doesn't seem to understand, let me just pause right here before I go any further. There's a whole lot of people in here tonight who are acting by faith, who are walking by faith, who are living by faith. But just like the people in the book of Hebrews, we seem to have hit a place in our life where it's not that we don't have faith, but our faith really just needs a booster. That sometimes we've been walking for so long, and it's like, I know God has a promise. I know God has something for me, but I'm starting to lose sight of what God has given me. God, I know you said that my loved ones are going to come into church, but I'm starting not to see it right now. God, you said that you're going to bless my family. I'm starting not to see it right now. And God is saying that just hold fast to the faith because you're not the only one that's been through this. It's the whole reason why he decided to give a chapter. If you think that you're by yourself, here, let me tell you about some other people. Going on with Abraham, skipping down to verse 17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Going down to verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Abraham and Isaac going up. Dad, I see the altar. Dad, I see the fire. I don't see the sacrifice. Oh, son, here, look at the memo. It's right here. God is going to provide his own sacrifice. Dad, I'm not seeing it. And if God is going to provide his own sacrifice, why am I being tied down? God's going to raise you up from the dead. Wait a minute, Pops. Whoa, wait a minute. I mean, that's the way it plays out in my mind. How would you feel if your parents tied you down and said, don't worry, God's going to raise you from the dead as they held a knife over you? I'm not going to take that too well. But even Isaac, after a while, said, you know what? If that's the case, you know what, Dad? I see it too. I see it too. Because, I mean, you have to figure Abraham was old. Isaac could have very easily taken him. He wasn't like 3 years old. He was a little bit older than that. He could have very easily escaped, but it was something about it to say, you know what? My father has a vision, and I'm going to follow this vision too. I don't see it. God, our father has a vision for us, and we need to follow the vision that God has given us. We need to believe that God will provide a sacrifice when it seems like there is no sacrifice. That God will make a way when it seems like that there is no way. That God will provide the fire when it seems like I don't have anything to give out. I don't see the end of this. It looks like there is no way, but you know what? God said that He's going to provide his own sacrifice. And even if he doesn't, I'm starting to think now that maybe God can perform a miracle. Maybe he can raise somebody from the dead. To my knowledge, that had never happened before in the Bible to this point. So the fact that he got an idea that, hey, God can raise somebody from the dead was amazing. Hey, that a God doesn't provide his own sacrifice, and I'm going to sacrifice the son, and God's going to bring me back. Why? Because I have a promise. Even when it seems like my promise is dead, it's not completely dead because God can bring it to newness of life. Even when it seems like that my hope is dead, not really, because God can renew it in the spirit. Even when we feel like that we're down, God can renew us in the spirit. That's why we have services called revivals. Because sometimes we feel like that we're dead in the spirit, and God is wanting to bring us back to life. He's wanting to revive us. He's wanting to revive your promises. He's wanting to revive that hope. He's wanting to revive that fire. He's wanting to revive the love that we once lost inside of us. At one point we could see it, and it was something about our walk, and it was something about life, and it was something about circumstances where we seem to have lost hope, and now we can't see it anymore. Almost caught that. And it's like we can't even see it anymore. But God is saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to renew your vision. I'm going to renew your hope. I'm going to renew it. My son can't see it. Dad doesn't see it. Mom doesn't see it. My boss doesn't see it. My friends don't see it. The world doesn't see it, but I see it. Amen. How do I see it? It's by faith. How do I see it? It's by faith. Everybody say, by faith.
By faith.
By faith.
By faith.
Enthusiastically, by faith.
By faith.
There you go. You have to remember, I work with kids. They're enthusiastic, so you gotta keep me going because they do. Talking about by faith, talking about all these people. And it's so funny. And it's so funny that when you look at these people, that it seems like the writer of Hebrews kind of gets a little more excited. He's like, you don't understand? Do you need more? Verse 4, by faith, Abel. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Verse 31, by faith, Rahab. What he's saying that there was a whole lot of people before you that also had to take a walk, but they have a testimony that even when nobody else can see it, that I held on, and they held on to the faith, and they held on to the promises, and they held on to what I told them. And you know what the crazy thing is? They really didn't actually get to see it. Yeah. Verse 13 actually says that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Funny thing is, even though they had a blank piece of paper, to them it actually looked like a blank piece of paper. But it was something about the promise. It was something about the very fact that God said, I have something for you, that they dedicated their entire lives to it, that they left everything that they had, that they left their own ideas, that they ignored their own emotions, and they said, I'm going to follow what God has given me, and it's worth investing into, because I may not see it, but my children will see it, and their children will see it. That it was something about investing into something that's bigger than themselves. God has been really speaking to me lately about just investing into something that's bigger than me, that the kingdom of God is bigger than me, that God has given me a promise. I may not ever see the promise, but somebody else will. I may not see it, but they might see it. And then their kids will see it, that God has given us a promise, but the promise isn't just for us. That's why he's saying, hold on to the faith. Faith is the very substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Hold on to it, because it's not just for you, because somebody else needs it. Hold on to it, Enoch, because it's not just for you. Noah needs it. Noah, hold on to it, because it's not just for you. Noah, Abraham needs it. Abraham, hold on to it, Abraham, because it's not just for you. Isaac needs it. Isaac, hold on to it, because it's not just for you. Jacob needs it. Hey, Jacob, Joseph needs it. Hey, Joseph, Rahab, all these different people in the Bible who, by faith, held on to a promise so that the next generation can see it. And now we're here today, and we can say by faith, because somebody else said by faith, even when nobody else can see it. The writer literally said, do I need to go on? By faith, it said all these people, and it goes on and on. It talks about David. It talks about Barak. It talks about Solomon. It talks, Samuel. It talks about David and the prophets of the old. We don't even have to stop there. Hey, by faith, Sister Melissa. Hey, by faith, Sister Heather. Hey, by faith, Brother Michael Paul. Hey, by faith, Brother Ray. Hey, by faith, Pastor Linder. Hey, by faith, Sister Sharon. All these different people in this sanctuary that can say, hey, I seen it too by faith, and I'm going to hang on to the faith, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pass the faith on to somebody else, and he's going to pass the faith on to somebody else, and she's going to pass the faith to somebody else, because it's more than about me. It's more than about my walk. It's more than about my life, but God has given me something to give to somebody else. How? By faith. By faith.
Hallelujah.
By faith. Can you imagine, Pastor, the things that we can do by faith? Church, can you imagine the things that we can do by faith if we stop looking at the things which are seen and begin to look towards the things which are unseen? If we stop looking at the temporal and beginning to look at the things that are eternal by faith, the things that we can do, the things that we can see. Things like in verse 33, it says, by faith we'll subdue kingdoms, we'll gain righteousness, we'll obtain promises, we'll stop the mouth of lions, we'll quench the violent fire, we'll escape the edge of the sword, we'll be made strong out of weakness, we'll be vigilant in the fight. Why? Because it's by our faith. By our faith and other people's faith that's been passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation to where we can stand here today on July 11th, 2008, and say, you know what? There's been other people who have passed on this faith, and now I stand here by faith. When other people don't see it, I'm gonna hang on because it's not about me. As the musicians would come, and if we will all stand. What are you needing in your life tonight? What has God promised you? And at one point, you could see it, but now it seems to be a slowing up of the momentum. It seems like you've kind of crashed a little bit. And it's like, you know what, God, I think this is all good, but I'm so tired. I'm so weary. I'm so stressed out, God. God, I know that you gave me promises. God, I know that you said you were healing. God, I know that you said you would provide, but it seems like I'm just running low on faith. God is trying to give somebody encouragement tonight. He's saying, look all around you. There's testimonies all around you. You can tap on anybody's shoulders and they can tell you by faith. You can go to anybody in this church and they'll tell you, hey, God did it with me, but it was by faith that I can stand here before you today and say, God brought me out, but it was by faith.
Hallelujah.
If everybody would come to the altar right now, but don't come guessing. Come to the altar by faith. That God is wanting to do something in your life, but the only way to really do it is if you do it by faith. As we lift up our hands in this place, and by faith, we're going to declare things in the spirit. We're going to declare things in the spirit. We're going to say, God, we will take this city. God, our church will grow. God, my family will be saved. God, we will be healed. God, they will be delivered by faith, by faith, by faith. My faith.